Hello, everyone, and welcome in to CrushTheStreet.com. I'm Kenneth Amadori, and I'm joined today with a returning guest, someone who's been on the show a number of times and somebody that I really respect. He's someone that's unfiltered. He really speaks his mind, truly. I watched him during Hurricane Irma just be so candid, so transparent, just communicating and being open with his audience about what is going on in his life at the moment, dealing with a real life tragedy or catastrophe, even though it ended up being fine. But such a personable guy, Jay Snipp of Realist News. He's got a great YouTube channel and someone who covers the news unfiltered, and that's what I love about him. Jay Snipp, Joe, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be back. It's been a while. I know you guys were reaching out. Let's chat. It's been a little while, and I'm out in the middle of like the Southwest doing some treasure hunting and like exploration out there. And I'm like, I can't really do that right now. But that's like, I'll be back in a freaking month, you know. So yeah, I was looking forward to coming back on. It's been a while, but it's been some exciting times. And I was gonna say, you say well respected. I'm like, you know, I don't know about some of those. Some of those comments in the comment section, boy, it seems like anyone that has a YouTube channel these days, boy, there's some people that just give you hell no matter what, you know, it's just, it is what it is, but it's all the good comments make up for the bad. So yeah, I think that there's a few people that might appreciate me a little bit.
Yeah. Well, my goodness, look at what's going on with Tony Robbins at the moment. He's just getting slammed by BuzzFeed, and it's just unreal. Like, he's helped literally over the course of what, 40 years of doing, he's been helping millions and millions of people, and you have one or two complaints out of millions, and that's what surfaces to the top, and yep, that's what everyone hears and is now seeing. And he's just, you know, really putting a lot of pressure and stress on him at the moment. But it's just the nature of bad information, negative information, that seems to come to the top. But focus on the positive and just keep doing what you're doing. I appreciate the work that you do.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yep, I'm with you on that.
All right, we got to touch crypto. The last time we talked, it was in the middle of the bear market, you know, and we were talking about, hey, the value that there is in crypto and Bitcoin and some of these other projects. And of course, it was harder for people to have the foresight to understand that when it just seemed like this bear market was never going to end. Was it going to stop at 3,000? Was it going to stop at 1,000? Was it going to correct to $500? Fundamentally, we never really believed that's the value of Bitcoin if we use that as our benchmark. But we know that bear markets and markets in general can be irrational. But here we are, you know, we're hitting $8,000. I know we're coming off of that a little bit here. Again, looking at Bitcoin as the benchmark, but what's going on? I mean, what are your thoughts here, Joe?
Well, I think it was like kind of like last time we talked. You know, it's like, look, it's a bear market. This is the crypto world. The ups are great and exhilarating, but the downs can be gut wrenching, make you want to throw up, throw in the towel. And the bottom line was, people should be buying more. Now, if you already put in all you could put in back then, and you're like, I'm not dipping into my bank account anymore, probably because people are nervous. I'm with you, but leave your stash at least. Don't go and just panic sell because you think the end of the world is. I'm like, we've been hearing the end of the world for Bitcoin for years now. Every cycle, every time there's a big bear cycle that comes in, oh, it's the end of Bitcoin, then it rebounds again. You know, and last time on the way down, it was like 6,000. We're not gonna go below 6. Don't worry, we won't go below 6. I'm like, I don't know. Never say never, people. You know, it can go where it needs to go. A lot of money pushing it around. So, of course, it went down to 5s. Then, you know, the experts, it's not going below 40-something hundred and it hit 4, then 3, or 30. I think it was actually 3,100 something change, maybe was the low, if I recall. But, yeah, then all of a sudden, oh, well, we might go to 25. We might go to 1,800, you know. And, yeah, there's charts that could support that. But it's like the market will figure out the equilibrium. Like, it'll figure out where it needs to go. And like you told me a minute ago before we started recording, you were buying under a certain price. Like, hey, I'm going to buy more. And you said something we all know. I should have bought more. And it's like, yeah, you know, could just about doubled, you know, maybe doubled or tripled depending on when you know, how low you got. But this is the world. This is the crypto world. The ups are great. The downs can be scary, but it seems to always rebound. And this has been going on for years. And I mean, if someone looked at the absolute low back in December, you know, Litecoin $22, Bitcoin Cash 71, Bitcoin 3100. I mean, these things have just about tripled. Bitcoin, not quite. Litecoin's gone up 5-point-something times. Bitcoin Cash was over 6.6, I think, or 6.5, somewhere around there, from that low to the recent high of around $450. You know, Litecoin back over $100, currently 88. Like, it's back, you know, it's going back. It's going to go back where it was. And the other thing is, you know, back in November of 2017, when the bull market really kicked in, you know, I remember people arguing with me and Cliff High and some others, it ain't going triple digits, Litecoin, it's not going to happen. And Cliff High was very adamant, it's going to happen. Not only is it going to happen, it's going to happen by Christmas time. As soon as we start to get out of this November and into December, it's already at $100. So there's the triple digits, goes to 200 rapidly, 300, 420, I think on Coinbase was the all-time high. And so why I'm telling everyone this is, yeah, then we had another year plus, slightly over a year of a bear market. But it was only $100 roughly in November. This is, I'm just talking Litecoin now. If you look at Bitcoin, it was, you know, 8, 9, 10,000. It got to 20 so fast, like, it'd make your head spin. So it's like these things can happen in the crypto world, and there's huge money to be made. But, you know, some people get a little aggravated because, oh, well, it's just a speculative thing. And then others are, well, no, that's great. It's a speculative thing because everyone wants to make money. And if we can play a market and actually win for once, instead of playing with the big boys on Wall Street, like, hey, you know, good for us. So I can see both sides of the coin. The bottom line is both people are going to win, I think, with crypto. The speculators will win. They're going to make huge profits as long as they don't get their emotions in the way like a lot of people did and sell out. And then the other people who want to see what the technology does for humanity, replacing antiquated systems, financial systems especially, even government accounting, those are going to, I think that's going to come too. So then we're going to have a system where you can't hide anything anymore. You know, James Comey and the FBI can't say, well, we had these messages or these memos and we lost them. Nope. If it's on the blockchain, it's there forever. So I think this could kind of force government to be a little bit better than they've been and are typically how they have been throughout history, where they become oppressive and start, you know, going the wrong way, basically. This can kind of keep them in check, in my opinion. So anyways.
Joe, what are your thoughts on gold as it compares to crypto in light of this bounce off the low we've seen? You know, crypto has seemed to steal the spotlight in so many ways from the precious metals sector, rightfully so. You see it in the comments all the time now. Oh, people are like, I sold my gold. I sold my metal. Gold is antiquated. Gold is a relic, even though it's really only been a couple of years where we've kind of dealt with this suppression, if you will. And gold has been around for thousands of years. You know, what's the balance of this? And, you know, as it pertains to crypto, largely stealing the spotlight of, you know, the sound money hedge against crisis vehicle.
Well, I mean, like you said, gold's been around for thousands of years. It's been money for thousands of years. Same with silver. It's a little brother. Both gold and silver go together. And, you know, recently we'll see it, oh, gold's almost to $1,400, and it gets slammed back down to $1,250, and it's back nearing 13 again. Same with silver. Gets near $16, oh, back down to $1,450. And, you know, we all know this. The prices are set on the COMEX market, basically Wall Street. And they rig the prices through these paper derivatives contracts. It's a nonsense game, but they've got to control it. Governments have to control the price of competing currencies. And since gold and silver have been currencies for so long, that's a kind of a thermometer to some of the countries out there, especially ours, money. And if gold starts going up, it shows, whoa, you guys are printing too much money. Well, if you can control the thermometer, so to speak, well, then you can pretend that everything's fine and we're not printing that much money. But the interesting thing is in the crypto world, it kind of shows, you know, the thermometer, but money can still come in and move it. You know, we have things like Tether, which is printed, not printed, but created by, Brock Pierce and some of those guys, and typically goes through Bitfinex exchange. And it's worth a dollar each, and they've got 2.5 billion roughly of them out there. And there's been some conspiracy, of course, about, well, you've never shown that you had the backing of a dollar for dollar with those things. And so my point of this, just briefly telling you that, is, well, they may now have a way to buy and manipulate crypto with free money, free Tether, that they create out of nothing, essentially. And now the New York Attorney General is looking into it and is basically putting a microscope on them, under the microscope. So we may have some rough spots in crypto if this thing blows up with Tether and Bitfinex. The market drops pretty heavy duty on that news. But I will say, wouldn't be the first time an exchange or some kind of issue like this has come up. Yes, they were always negative to the market. The market always dumped, but it always rebounded as well and went on to make newer highs. So if there is some corruption in this system, this crypto system, I'd like to see, you know, like everyone else, get rid of this. We came here to get rid of you guys, and then you followed us over here, created this fake coin, and now, you know, can technically move this market. But back to gold and silver, they're always going to be around. I mean, it was just recently, and I say that probably months ago, where I'm reading an article like, you know, the central banks of the world have purchased more gold in, I don't know if it was a quarterly thing or the yearly thing, I don't recall now, but it was more gold than they've ever done in that same period of time ever before. So, you know, yeah, I'm gung-ho about cryptos. I think there's going to be a place for cryptos. We're going to make money in cryptos. But apparently the governments of the world and these central banks are for some reason wanting a whole bunch of gold. So, I mean, is it possible that our system of finance, everything's going to be, you know, backed by gold, a crypto backed by gold at some point or something, you know, some other, where the gold's the underlying asset, crypto starts getting used as money somehow. Not to say that the world governments are going to use Bitcoin or something as their currency. No government will ever give up its, you know, its sovereign duty to print its own money, because that's where all the control is. So they're always going to do that. But if they do go on some kind of crypto, that means the other cryptos are definitely legit and people are going to probably be too late to the race, you know, as typically happens. And the rest of us who got in early are going to be pretty happy. But I do think there's a place for both gold and silver. I was telling people a while back, you know, if Litecoin ever dropped below $99 or $100, I may unload some of my silver. But when the time came and it did go down, I said, you know, below 100, I'm like, no, I don't care. No, I can't. I got to keep my silver. Like that's my safety net, no matter what. Even if I could sell some and buy the super dip on crypto, like, nope, I don't want to do it. So I felt real strong about keeping it. So I kept my silver and I just traded a bit with crypto in and out a few times this year. And so, yeah, I think there's a place for both, honestly. And I do think at some point, and I couldn't even throw a dart to tell you when, honestly, but I do think at some point we are going to see gold and silver go crazy high in price because of all the central bank printing across the planet. And even though they rigged the prices, there's going to be a point where I think it's just too obvious, too much, and things are going to, you know, crap's going to hit the fan. So I want to be in crypto and I want to be in gold or silver at that time. And I am. So,
you know, it's interesting. You have these big companies now, Facebook, Starbucks, JP Morgan, they're starting to introduce their own crypto, their own token, their own coin, you know, for their corporation, their network. And it's interesting because, you know, for the disinterested, uneducated person, it's going to sound like a Bitcoin comparison, a Bitcoin copycat. You know, oh, you know, I don't necessarily know what Bitcoin is, but I know who JP Morgan is, so I'll buy the JP Morgan coin. And it's interesting because I feel like these companies understand that the blockchain and digital currencies are going to be the future, and so they're going to take advantage of the optics of it and take advantage of it. And in some ways, it's fine, but it's fiat, if you will, because it's just they're just stable coins to go in and out of the ecosystem and be able to interact with loyalty and rewards and you know, higher efficiencies, you know, bypass American Express, bypass Visa and these different companies and transact within the network with these tokens. But, you know, if we did have some hyperinflationary event, we already have the banks getting into this area of crypto, where I almost feel like they're going to be one step ahead to be able to salvage the situation and keep control over the money system, because that's something that they don't ever want to lose control of. And I feel like, you know, the JP Morgan coin is an underlying attempt to stay in front of the trend from what's coming down the road. So any thoughts on that? Anything you want to respond to in regards to that?
Yeah, I would agree. I don't know that I would say, and I don't think you said this, but I just to be clear to anyone listening, I don't think we're expecting you or I that JP Morgan coin is going to be the new dollar. But I think what you maybe are alluding to, and I would agree, is like, you know, you sell anything online, you swipe a card, the whole world uses a card. There's a 3%, roughly 2.something% fee, whatever it is, that everyone has to get charged no matter what. That's why you walk in a store and they're like, you know, we don't take cards unless you spend $5 or more because of the fee, you know, our profit's gone, whatever. So I do think JP Morgan might be positioning itself to be that middleman fee. And the thing here, though, is even if they are, they do still have to compete with some of these other coins out there, whether it's Ripple or Digibyte or whatever, pick a coin, Litecoin. Although I don't think Litecoin would probably be in there, but they're going to have to compete with a space in which most of us say, and including these crypto companies say, we're here to get rid of that fee. Use our blockchain. The fee is basically what the fee is on the blockchain for everybody, and it's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of what you used to pay. So if JP Morgan wants to take that spot, JP Morgan's going to have to come way down on what fees they charge to use that JP Morgan coin blockchain. Because if that's the case, other vendor, you know, anyone that's got a credit card machine is going to say, well, I don't want to use the JP Morgan coin. I want to use Ripple or something, you know, something else that can communicate because it's way cheaper. So it'll be a good, healthy thing of competition. You know, what we see these days for competition, for example, the oil companies or the banks, but let's just say the oil companies, is, oh yeah, there's competition. There's three or four, you know, oil companies, but they're all charging the hell out of us for, you know, gas for something that many of the times they can get for, you know, a dollar or so out, you know, per, you know, instead of three, four, whatever you're paying for a gallon, theoretically we could have gas for like, you know, well under a dollar, but they all are, you know, kind of in cahoots with each other. So, oh yeah, yeah, there's competition. We're all just going to keep jacking the prices up. Oh, okay. You know, kind of like when you get a loan for your house, say, oh, we got five lenders. Well, they're all about roughly the same price, you know, with the interest rates. So what I like about blockchain is they come in and get rid of all these damn middlemen and just, hey, there's no real fee. We're not charging a fee. The blockchain is the blockchain. Everyone that has a computer or a node of this current blockchain, whatever the coin is, you're essentially allowing the rest of the world to commerce like together. So it's like, it's just going to take over if these guys aren't careful. So I think they realize that. So they have to get in, you know, JP Morgan's got to get in and do something, but I don't, you know, see like JP Morgan becoming the new Visa or MasterCard. And if Visa and MasterCard were smart, they'd be hurriedly creating something to replace it. But again, they're realizing we've had this little 2-3% fee we got to collect forever just to do nothing besides be a middleman, so to speak. And even then, like you're not using their phone lines. You're not using their internet fiber or whatever. There's just a communication system that goes through Visa, MasterCard for the credit card system or debit card system. That's it. So it's like, you're a middleman. You're not even really a middleman, you know, and you're collecting this. So if you guys are going to continue to do that, you better, you know, come way, 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 way down on the fees. And again, just make your blockchain, show what your fees are and let us decide. You know, cause again, if it's not good, we're going to leave. As far as countries, I do think countries at some point will issue their currencies on the blockchain, and it will be their, in my opinion, it will be their blockchain. So they may take the open source code from Bitcoin or Litecoin or Digibyte or whoever and say, oh, we like that one. We're going to use that one. And of course their system will be probably kind of like Ripple, where they can add money later on if they need to, because you know how governments like to do that. But that's kind of anti-blockchain, you know, technically speaking. It should be a certain number of coins, and then they fractionalize off as things grow. But, you know, a government is government. Like you said, they're going to always want to maintain control of that money system, so they have to do what they have to do. But it's also an out, I think, for them to deal with all the unfunded liabilities that every country has. We're massively up to our eyeballs in debt. And then we have all this off the record, basically debt that we don't really talk about. This is the official number, but over here is like four or five times that amount that still has to be dealt with. So I think our governments, maybe America in particular, I don't know, will find a nice sneakily way, stealth way to kind of deal with that stuff and transition everyone off onto the blockchain while that's kind of, you know, building up, and they'll just keep printing more money until, you know, we have some major problems. And then all of a sudden the blockchain will be there to kind of save us, so to speak. And by that time, people are already going to know about it because they're going to be using it for other things. And I mean, we got years, in my opinion, many, many years from now. But I think that's what will ultimately happen if I had to, you know, throw a dart, you know, my opinion out there.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you on that. And it's interesting the way the governments go and the extremes that they go to. You started reminding me about gold and the dollar being backed by precious metals. And the problem with that system is that it wasn't immutable. They were able to take the dollar off of the gold standard at the switch of a button, right?
Yeah.
So what's the point of having a gold standard if they can take it away at any point? It's still the faith in the country and the stability of the country if there's this opt-out button at any time they want to get away from it, as opposed to, let's say, what we have with Bitcoin or gold itself. There is no opt-out. There is no way to change it. There's no way to mess it up, if you will.
Right.
Which is very powerful, and which is why I think a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of misinformation, a lot of confusion about everything going forward, because there's going to be this campaign to confuse people and to, you know, conflate Bitcoin because it's blockchain with, you know, a government issued blockchain currency, and cause people to think it's the same thing when they're completely different. One will be able to be centralized and controlled, and the other one is its own thing. You know, power in the hands of the people, not power in the hands of the government.
Yep, and I think we'll see at some point the stock market and, you know, shares of a company will be obsolete. It'll be gone in favor of crypto. Like we've heard already, you know, you have an IPO, initial public offering, and then we have the ICO, initial coin offering, which really got big in 2017 when the whole thing took off with cryptos. But I think that's what you'll start hearing from now. And even if they want to call it an IPO still, you could, but it would be on the blockchain. And I could sit here from my computer and say, oh, just send some Ethereum or Litecoin or Bitcoin or whatever coin to that company, and I get so many, you know, shares or cryptos back. It'll be the new way. The one thing that needs to change, though, is currently being an accredited investor. You know, this nonsense where, oh, you got to show you've got 200 something thousand worth of liquidity or liquid assets or whatever, and then you can invest in something. Well, last time I checked, I'm an adult and it's my effing money. And if I want to invest in something, damn it, I'll take the chance. I'll take the risk. I know there's risk involved, whether I'm making 200,000 or not making, but I have 200,000, you know, in proof that I've got to be an accredited investor or not, or if I've only got $1,000. What's the difference? Even if I've got $200,000, but I'm only willing to put 1,000 into something. And maybe I, who am not a credit investor, also have $1,000. I don't have 200, but I got 1,000 just like you do. And I also want to invest. What difference does it make because you happen to have, you know, 200K of net worth available or liquidity or whatever that you can show? And I don't. Like, right. They need to back off that. And I think cryptos may start putting some pressure on that. So if they can change those rules, that'll be great, because then the mom and pops can come in. All of us can come in. And not worry about the Security Exchange Commission coming in. Oh, well, you know, the company, you're not allowed to issue an ICO or do an IPO or whatever, because this might be a security. And since it's a security, blah, 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 you have to do it this way. And like, I mean, I understand there needs to be regulation, and that's okay. Just do the right thing. Do your ICO right. But let people invest who want to invest. I mean, that's the good thing. You could maybe only want to put $10 in, $50, $100, $1,000, whatever it is. Like, you know, back in the day, I always talk about Amazon when it was $1 to $2 a share. Like, what if someone put $100 in and, you know, got 100 shares? Well, the thing went up to $1,700. Therefore, 1,700 times 100. That's what you would have got off that little tiny investment. So, you know, you got to be an accredited investor to play this game. I think they need to get rid of that. Let people, you know, adults, you got to be 18 or whatever to invest, or your parents can do it for you. Just like they can go buy you a savings bond, you know, earn almost nothing. I'd rather play with crypto. So anyways, that's kind of a little side thought I have, but
let me comment on that. The accredited investor thing, I understand the underlying tenor to a certain degree. You know, okay, well, you know, we want to protect people, but again, you know, like you said, we're big boys, right? We can make our decisions for ourselves.
Right.
But it's also it keeps, you know, people who want to grow their investment outside of the possibility of investing into really good investments, you know, and really good vehicles,
right,
that are essentially only for the rich, right?
Right.
It's like this whole idea of why the rich continue to get richer is that there's certain investments that are only for them. And I mean, that was interesting. I remember calling JP Morgan to see what it was, would be like to become one of their, you know, big clients, you know, to put some money with them. Like the minimum investment that they would require is $10 million for you to be able to invest your money with JP Morgan. I just thought that was interesting, you know, just to gather that information from them. So it's like, you know, the rich getting richer and being excluding everyone else from these opportunities, which is, you know, backwards in so many ways. So
yeah, I just have a feeling that'll change. I don't have no proof, but I just have a feeling with crypto and stuff that there's gonna be pressure. People gonna say, yeah, hey, we want to invest. We have these little wallet platforms. We can do it from our house. It's easy. Like, we're in charge. Like, hey, you know, back off on that. I think we may shockingly see that they do at some point. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I just feel like we're going to see that at some point. We're going to make some progress finally, and not this old system like it's been, where, like you said, you get rich, get richer. It's a big club. I always like to use George Carlin's phrase, you know, it's a big effing club and you ain't in it, because he's right, you know. But I, you know, we just want, well, we want to kind of join. Can we join a little bit of the club? Like, let us invest in some stuff. Let us handle our own money. Like, it's our money. Don't tell me like it's our food. If I want to eat trash and trash my body, it's still my decision. But, you know, don't tell me you can't have sodas in the city. We're going to have to charge a soda tax, a sugar tax. Like, you know, get the hell out of here with that stuff. You know, we need freedom, not more of this garbage.
Right, right. So true. All right, let's talk about, you know, last time we had this conversation, you know, we did an interview. We were talking about the midterms, the chaos of the midterms. In Florida, you had the DeSantis versus Gillum, and there was a lot of misinformation on what was going on with that. And sure enough, DeSantis won, and then, you know, Scott versus Nelson race. I mean, those were the two big ones that were going on in Florida. And you had the Republicans come out in front, even surrounding this large misinformation campaign coming out. So having said that, I mean, what are your thoughts on 2020, Trump? You know, Trump got away, and I don't say that to berate him, but he was vindicated. There was no collusion with Russia, and the Mueller report proved that.
Right.
What is the implications of that, and is that going to continue to fuel the Trump fire that really swept the nation and is, you know, arguably battling and fighting against the deep state?
All right, so, I mean, Mueller, honestly, everyone knows Mueller already had all the information he needed, you know, 18 plus months ago, way before the midterms. He had everything he needed. Nothing new came up. Nothing happened. So he just sat on it, basically, so that the midterms could happen and the Democrats could pick up, hopefully, a bunch of seats, maybe win the Senate if they were lucky. They did not, thank God. And like you said, we had, you know, the polls, which in 2016, when we had the election, the polls were showing Hillary Clinton, you know, 95% chance. There's not a chance in hell Donald Trump will win. Then he won. So the polls got it wrong. And I kind of argued with the guy at work. I said, every poll in the country got it wrong. I mean, is there one poll for everybody? Well, no, there's more than one. And they all got it wrong. Yeah, it was just bad data. Okay. Then the midterms came. And like you said, those two candidates in Florida, for the Senate, I think, seat, and then the governor. And sure enough, the Republicans won. And the news told us again, oh, Gillum's got him by, you know, 5-6%. Oh, he's up to 8% now. Same story with the Senate seat. It's like, and then, oh, we're going to do a recount. They do a recount. And actually, the Republicans had more. So they said, oh, Palm Beach, and in these are very liberal Democratic counties over here, Palm Beach and, Broward. And they both said, we're going to recount. So they did. They both come back with more Republican votes. So they tell each other, don't turn these recount votes in until 2 minutes late, because then it's disqualified. We'll go with the original numbers because they were a little more in our favor. Unbelievable. So then we just had an election in Australia, and the polls there said basically what we'll call the deep state system, that guy was going to win overwhelmingly. Oh, he's got this. Polls are in. This guy's got it. And then the votes actually came in and he didn't have it. And the Trump, if you will, of Australia won. Now they call him the liberal something party, but it's not the liberal party like we see in America. It's a different thing. But, so you see all this, I guess it's the only trick that they can do. What else could they possibly do to trick you to thinking, oh, I'm not going to go out and vote. I've already lost. We already lost. That's all they got. So what do? They just keep doing it. They'll do this till the end. So when 2020 comes around, I'm going to make a prediction. I'll make a prediction here. as we lead up, we're in 2019. We're about halfway through, right? So 2020 is coming. We're going to be mostly through the 2020 year before the elections happen, November. So what I think we're going to see is deep state being taken down, arrests happening, Democrats in big, big, big trouble. Yes, there will be Republicans too. But overall, overwhelmingly, the Democratic Party will be in such serious trouble by the things that come out, proof that comes out, that nobody in their right mind is going to vote Democrat in 2020. It'll be a landslide vote for the Republican Party, in this case, Donald Trump. And I don't know if I'm going to make a prediction on this, but I'll just say it. I think we will see the largest margin that he won by, I don't know about ever before in the country, but more of a percentage will go to him than we've probably seen in a very, 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 very long time. It'll be shocking how many people actually vote for him, because part of what he's going to do is get rid of the illegal voting, the double and triple and quadruple voting, and the illegal aliens coming in and voting. That's going to be dealt with. So I think we're going to see an absolute landslide in this coming election for Donald Trump. And both the House and Senate, I think, will overwhelmingly shift Senate. I mean, shift Republican. The Senate already is mostly controlled by Republicans, but I think we're going to pick up even more seats in the Senate ultimately as these, you know, other elections come up too. And same with the House. As they come up, the midterms come up again and all that stuff, I think we're going to see the Republicans. Not to say that just because the Republican, it's a Republican, they're the greatest guys, because we've got some pretty bad, you know, jerk-offs as Republicans that typically will show their head every now and then. So there, some of these guys will be dealt with too, I think, and they'll be forced to resign, things like that. So I have faith Donald Trump will do what he's promised. He'll fix this country. He'll drain the swamp, and we'll get our freedoms back like they were should have been before, you know, 9/11, let's say, when all this crap started happening. You know, they love to just stick the old national security stamp on everything. Hey, what about those FBI documents? Oh, no, that's not a secret. You can't see that. Because if you saw it, you would see, oh, my God, you did have a conversation with this person. You said you didn't. You just lied to us. So they just say, well, it's a national security matter. We'll redact it all. And then you have to ask someone to unredact it. And the person unredacting it, if that's another deep state person, they're never going to unredact it. So it's like all of our freedoms, all of our ways of finding information have gone out the wayside since 9/11. So I do believe Trump knows some of these things. In my opinion, you know, the conspiracy, 9/11 may not have been what we were told. I also strongly believe that he knows Barack Obama's birth certificate was a complete fraud, because I remember, that was calling him a few years ago and updating him, Jerome Corsi.
It was a Democrat that was actually brought that to everyone's attention. Everyone called it a racist thing.
Right off the bat. And the other thing was, you know, with Sheriff Arpaio, who was actually looking into, you know, the cold case posse, whatever you call themselves. They looked into the birth certificate thing, and they brought him to Hawaii, and he said, you know, we're finding there's actually something to this, and this is troubling, so we need to really investigate this. And they did, and what they've come up with is that the document we got to see from the White House, his birth certificate, is a complete fabrication, is a fraud. And because Corsi was talking to Trump, I'm certain Trump knows this, knows that our country, you know, if we were having a freaking takeover by a Muslim guy named Barack Obama, and he's numerous times has said, oh yeah, my Muslim faith. And one time the news guy had to correct him and go, you mean your Christian faith? He goes, oh yeah, my Christian faith. Like, you don't mix that up on accident. You know, you don't accidentally call yourself a Muslim if you're a Christian, and you don't call yourself a Christian if you're a Muslim. You know, you don't make that mistake. It's like calling your daughter a son, which, by the way, he did twice. My daughters. Like, I look at this stuff, and my conspiracy mind says, are these people like put together? Did they adopt the girls? Like, was this a put together family like for Made for America? You can't remember that you have $2. You're calling them sons. You called your wife, Michelle. Like, I would never accidentally call my wife if her name was Michelle Michael. You just wouldn't do that. So again, I think we've been hoodwinked. It's a fraud and it's going to come out. And I'll say one other thing. There's a guy named Mark Taylor that, you know, swears he's gotten visions and things from God. He lives in Florida, former fire chief. And he says, I got it one time. He said, you know, I saw the Supreme Court justices being picked by Trump. First, it was only going to be a couple. Now it's going to be at least three or maybe five, he said. I forget. He goes, but one of the big things he got, he said, when I was told, you know, by God or whatever, his vision, he said, I saw that when two presidents, former presidents, are dead, the remaining three will be indicted at some point after that. So that would be a marker to watch for. Well, as we know, Papa Bush has died not too long ago. Jimmy Carter, the other day, slipped and broke a hip. He's very old. And we know what happens when the old people start falling and breaking hips. Typically, they don't live much longer. Just for whatever reason, it's just like almost like an omen, a sign. It just happens with elderly people. So is he about to pass it, pass the bucket here or kick the bucket months from now, a year from now? I don't know. But if that happens, I'm just going to tell people, look out, because you may be shocked if you do see, in fact, three presidents, which would be George Bush Jr., Clinton, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama. So I thought, well, the guy may be right. I believe him, actually. I think what he said is going to actually happen. So we're going to turn the corner at some point. Trump's got a lot to deal with to undo what these people have been doing. And I hope he's, hope he's successful.
Joe, I was watching Hillary Clinton on one of these comedy shows, these political comedy shows, right?
Yeah.
The Daily Show and Jimmy Kimmel. And I just watched her talking about how the Russian interference with the campaign was the reason why she lost. And she was, she was, of course, acting like she was above it. But her biggest concern was that, future candidates might have to deal with what she dealt with, and lose at the hands of Russian interference. And I've just kind of blown away by this. She's tried so many times. The American people in many ways rejected her. She's been a total fraud. She's been anti-American in so many ways. And yet she has this arrogance about her that's like, oh, hey, I lost because of Russian interference in our election, not because Donald Trump beat her.
Right.
What are your thoughts on this? How are the people, the American people who aren't tuned in, going to be educated and understand that so much of this stuff is just fabricated and there's a narrative that is not being told?
Well, think about it. Every time there's an election, there's every 4 years, and many times the president will win two terms. So let's just think about this for a minute. Barack Obama got in 2008. He got his two terms. So the internet, while, kind of got going in the 90s, I like this, usually say the turn of the century, because that's kind of when high speed came out around the year 2000, not that everybody had it, but people started getting online. And so we've only had a few elections since, the internet's been around, right? Let's just call it three to four elections since the internet's been around. And we all can transfer information. Well, YouTube didn't come out until 2005 or 2006. Then it was bought by Google, of course, because they probably saw that this is a medium for people to communicate and we need control of everything. So they bought them out. And as we see, like me, I'm getting hammered by YouTube all the time and strike for nothing. And I got to appeal it. And I'm on a second appeal now and they haven't even answered me in like 20 days. No comment. And usually they answer 2 to 3 days. So anyways, we now have people like me and you. We could sit at our desk like we are right now. Guys like Mark Dykes, who have over 1.5 million viewers, can sit at his kitchen table, as he likes to talk about, and say, oh, I just sit on my laptop. I don't have to have a big fancy CNN news story facility. I do it from my freaking house. I have almost no overhead, no fees besides my internet, electricity. So we can say things and show people things and say, well, hey, wait a minute. Here's a video of Barack Obama where he said, he was asked, What is your definition of marriage? And who's it between? And he said, a man and a woman. Oh, great. So he got the vote. Oh, yeah, he's my guy. He votes. That's why I think. But later on, he turns around. No, gay men can go ahead and get married. Again, they passed the law and and he signed it. Now you can go to certain states and all that and get married and all that. I don't know if that's necessarily him, but he was totally for it all of a sudden. Hillary Clinton, I'm not for gays. No, it's just, and then all of a sudden, oh, I'm running for president. Now I'm for gays. And the gays believe her. Oh, okay, we're going to vote for her because she's for that. But Trump isn't, so to speak. Well, he didn't say he wasn't. But again, it's just, when are people going to learn? Like, they're lying to you. So the point is here now, well, I can show you on my YouTube video. Hey, guys, check this out. Here's the video clip from Hillary or Barack or whoever back in 2000, whatever the year, check it out. Here's them saying this. And here's them today completely going the opposite way, not even admitting that they said it previously, because the news person who's questioning them isn't a real news journalist. They are sending them loaded questions, because if they're a real journalist, they would be asking them, well, wait a minute. You said this in 2003 or 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever. And now you're saying, you know, what changed? Why do you change your opinion? And at least give them the chance to explain themselves. Well, they won't even do that. They will simply just roll with the question as if it was the first time they're being asked. So guys like me, Mark Geis, whoever, can put that in front of people and say, look, you're being lied to. They said this, they're a freaking liar. By the way, here's something they did that was illegal. Look at how the FBI covered it up. Here's the documentation. Here's the court case. Like, here's all this stuff. You just have to look at it. We never had the power as the people, because we had to turn on our TV and let the news media tell us, oh, here's what's going on. And if they wanted to do a political hit job on somebody like Ron Paul, that's what they did. This guy can't be elected. He's unelectable. Ron Paul, there's no way. I would have loved to have Ron Paul as a president. I would love if Donald Trump said, you know what, the second time, I love Pence, but Pence, I want Ron Paul in here. Oh, my God. I think you would see an unbelievable landslide victory. I mean, he's going to win anyways, I think. But, like, we have the power now. And that's what they don't like. And that's why I'm getting strikes on my account. That's why people who post one little thing. There's people who can go on Facebook, and someone just sent me a message the other day. He goes, Joe, I'm banned for 3 days on Facebook for writing this. And he simply said, it is a scientific fact that there's only two genders. Here's why, blah, blah, blah. And Facebook says, nope, that's bullying and harassment and this and that. You can't say that. So he wasn't even able to say what is a factual scientific piece of evidence he had that he wanted to just talk about. Nope, that's hate. That's a hate speech. So they will shut you up. And that's what's happening. They know Donald Trump's going to win. The Republicans are coming back like never before. And we have to get a grasp on this. We've got to shut up everybody, because they don't control the news anymore. They do, but that ain't enough. The news is falling. It's failing. They're getting the worst viewership they've ever had. So these guys on YouTube and on Facebook and on Twitter, these guys have hundreds of thousands or millions of followers. We can't allow them to speak, because they're going to kill our narrative. And we want to put in front of the people our narrative. So that's why they create all these new little backdoor rules, and, well, there's hate speech and bullying and harassment and all this stuff. And then the next thing you know, you're offline just for talking, giving your opinion about something. Like, you could say, you know what, the news showed me a shooting or some mass casualty event today. I don't think I believe what I saw there. That doesn't make sense to me. You say that, oh, gone. That's bullying and harassment. Well, who did I bully and harass? Oh, the people who lost loved ones that day. Well, again, my belief was that maybe what they told us wasn't exactly true, or at least part of it wasn't true. So why, you know, again, they're wanting to shut you up because they don't want you to say what you have to say to get other people to start thinking, wait a minute, yeah, that was odd. Hey, wait a minute, that girl in that shooting video, she's been there 5 times in 5 other shootings across the nation. That's odd for one person to keep showing up, always crying on her cell phone and always in the front picture because she's so dramatic. Wow. So things like that. You just want to share with people, like, well, I'm not saying this didn't happen, but guys, just look at this. And then all of a sudden, boom, up, oh, bullying and harassment. You can't talk about that.
Yeah.
So I've like left that alone. I don't even want to cover that stuff anymore. What's that?
DTube. That's that crypto. Yeah, the blockchain.
Or BitChute is another one. Yeah. But that's the other problem.
Starting like, well, Joe,
you guys could just create your own platform. You're an IT guy. You could put up a video site. I'm like, you know, I could. Actually, I could. However, imagine having public access, like everyone, it's fair for everybody to go in the main street and talk and commerce and whatever. And then you being told, oh, you know, you're being treated unfairly there while everyone else isn't. And you live in a free country. So you're like, hey, I got a problem with this. You're not doing that to them, or them, but you're doing it to me. And we're all doing the same stuff. Why are you picking me? So everyone says, well, if you don't like it, go create your own Times Square. Okay. So I go create my own public square out 50 miles away in the middle of the woods in a swamp, and I open for business, come on in, and no one shows up. That's the platform where everybody's at. That's why we're there. It's the public gathering. We want to be part of the public gathering and talk and educate people and tell people things, and they, the club, doesn't want us doing that. So, whoa, just go create your own platform. It's like, well, I could, but no one's going to show up. Because no one knows about it. I don't have, you know, $100 million to spend on advertising to, right? So, go ahead.
Joe, it's crazy the things that we're talking about and how different the world is. And, you know, things are obviously changing at rapid pace with technology, AI, the economy, the manipulation. And I want to get some of your closing thoughts, you know, moving forward, happiness, being able to just take all of this in and live your life. Because each day we live, of course, is one day closer to the grave, right? You know, and I feel like a lot of us sometimes, you know, I've been guilty of this. It's like we're invested for, you know, the earth to ultimately turn into an ice ball, right? You know, we got these inevitabilities, all these things that are going to happen, but, you know, we don't know when it's going to happen. And it might be years and years down the line. Meanwhile, our body's decaying ultimately, and we're one day closer to the grave. So just what are your thoughts in general as to, you know, how we take all this information in and then, you know, continue to live our life?
Yeah. I mean, I try to tell people, you know, don't be too scared about, you know, the end of the world or any of that stuff. Like, but yeah, you can see the writing on the wall on some things, and you have to ask yourself, well, how's this going to end? Like, how's the financial system going to not implode at some point? Like, so yeah, we got to take measures. I like cryptos. I like precious metals. That's my thing, but I don't just get hung up and like, I got to hoard it. Nah, you know, I got to go live in the middle of nowhere. And no, you know, you could kind of back off of that stuff. Sure, it's just some prepper things you could do. Have a food store, just not a bad idea. Have a generator for your house, not a bad idea. But don't like let it consume you. Just live your life. You know, I feel we have a president in charge now that's going to help fix things in America. We're going to see some good times, but I do think we're going to have some bad times too, because this stuff has to get dealt with. The transition will be whatever it is. So hopefully it's not too bad, but just don't get caught up in it. Live your life. You know, enjoy your family. You know, that's it, really.
Well, you had an interesting experience, right? You were telling me about this retreat you went on. And, you know, tell me a little, as we close out this interview here, tell us about that experience, kind of what you learned and, you know, what insight that gave you for just, you know, your own life and maybe what you would like to share with other people.
Yeah, I just, you know, we went on this little treasure hunt thing and, you know, didn't do any treasure hunting. And because this stuff on the woo-woo side, the spiritual stuff, was like kind of knocking on our door. And we were like, well, that's the path, like the universe or whatever wants us to follow right now. Let's go ahead and do it. And we were invited to do some Native American rituals, like drumming and meeting some of them, these people, and them inviting us to our house. We were kind of strangers to them, and like, just an experience. And then you can feel something's happening. Like, can't see it, but you can feel it's there. And then after all, like this 3 weeks I was there, all these interesting things I went through, and I brought my wife up for the last week. She got to experience some. We were like, you know, we need to kind of take a step back sometimes. You know, we're all about technology and everything moving forward, but it's like, I think we need to take a step back and maybe get a little more spiritual. And work on that a little bit ourselves. And how I could tell everyone to do that, I mean, each person kind of has their own thing. All of a sudden, recently, I've been into, I don't know where it even came from, but these singing bowls, these little metal bowls you tap and they ring and they make these beautiful sounds and they can have like this healing energy. And I, yesterday, I saw one on eBay. It was a big one. And they're typically, you know, $800-$900. And this guy's got it listed for $299. I'm like, well, I'll throw a bid out there. He's got to buy it now for $800, but I'll throw a bid out there. No one else's bid. So it'll end by tomorrow, you know, tomorrow sometime it ended, yesterday. And I said, well, I'll go ahead. So I ended up winning the thing, and I'm like, oh, he's in Tampa. Says he's in Tampa. Well, that's by me. So I reach out to him. Hey, I know you got $50 shipping fee, but can I just pick the thing up? He's like, yeah, no problem. So I just had to, I'm like, well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, he was going to charge me $25 to ship the you know, shipping fee regardless, plus another $25 if I actually wanted it shipped. Cause it was like a no local pickup, shipping only, you know, where he can make a couple extra dollars in the shipping, which is typical, you know. But I'm like, well, I don't mind, you know, I'll pay the extra, little extra fee there. I just want to pick it up. I don't know why the hell I was so adamant, because it's not like I needed the thing. And I already bought a couple of small sets, but I wanted a big one because they really resonate. And you can actually like put it on your back or your lower back or even your head. And it sets you, supposedly, like your chakras and like resets you. It's really a real peaceful thing that happens. But I just have this thing. I got to go get it from the guy. So I go and pick it up with my wife. I meet the guy, start talking to him for a few minutes. And next thing I know, we're talking for an hour. And I realized, oh, no wonder why I had to pick it up in person. I had to meet this guy. And now I've got his number. We're going to do some meetup like spiritual meetup things with some people he wants to get going. I'm like, oh, perfect. But he goes, you know, Joe, I've been trying to sell this bowl, the singing bowl, for a long time. I'm done with it. I bought it in Nepal when I was there. It's very special. I have a smaller one that I brought with me. I wasn't sure I wanted to get rid of it though. And I said, well, let me look at both. And I said, I'd love to have both of them. He goes, you know, I was hoping that when I sold this bowl, it would be to someone who's going to use it, like really use it. And after talking to you over these last few minutes, you're the guy. I need to pass the torch to you for this. Like, you're the right guy to give this to. And for that reason, I'm going to sell you this other bowl that I thought I might want to hang on to. I think you're going to really put it to use. And I thought, oh, wow, thanks. So I met this guy. We talked for an hour. I don't even want to get into the discussion now of what we talked about, but it was all spiritual stuff. And now I've got another connection that lives locally. I'm going to probably do some meetups with them and do some drumming and things with them, because I learned some of this stuff with these Indian people that really made me feel a different way. And when I was done, like, wow, there's more to life than what we think there is, and the spiritual side that maybe you can't see or touch it. And there was something spiritual that happened to me and my wife on the mountain that I won't say publicly, but after we're done recording, I'll tell you real quick if you want. So that's how I'll end the video.
Keep an open mind.
Yeah, that's definitely.
That's what you said. And yeah. That's powerful. Well, everyone, if you want more of Joe, visit his YouTube channel, JSnip4. He's just one of the most up to date. He communicates very personally, and even from this interview, just speaks from the heart. And that's one thing you'll get from him, yeah, which I greatly appreciate. So, Joe, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
Anytime. Thanks.